It's always a joy to have you. Join us for the Word for Life radio ministry. Again, I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, counseling pastor and senior citizens pastor at Brookside. And what a thrill it is to have missionaries visit our church. And these are folks that our church is supporting, that they are just kind of like missionary staff, like we have pastoral staff on facilities here. But we also have missionary staff that help us as a church carry out the Great Commission. And J.J. Shalashenko is our missionary staff to France. And J.J., it's a joy to have you back. Just met you briefly a couple of years ago, but now to have you in our missions conference, what a precious opportunity that is. You were sharing with us the last time we were talking about your salvation testimony, somebody just kind of asking if you had some answers to the questions that you were facing as you were facing cancer and looked like it was going to be life-ending cancer. You trusted Christ as your personal Savior. Now, continue that story with how you got to the point that you felt like the Lord was directing you to missions.
Well, it's kind of unusual, I believe, but each salvation story is different.
Right.
When I was saved in Paris 20 years ago, I didn't know that there was a Bible church in the area. I didn't see believers in the streets, you know, passing out tracts.
Okay.
I didn't have any born-again friends among my friends. And I spent hours and hours reading the Bible by myself. Actually, the young man that led me to Christ, essentially using the Bible, but essentially using the Bible on a computer. He had an old computer running on DOS operating system.
Okay.
And the online Bible program. He taught me how to use it to find answers to my questions.
Right, right.
And I bought this computer from him.
Okay.
And I use it for quite a few months, even years, studying the Bible 3, 4 hours, 6 hours, 7 hours a day.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I was immersed in the Bible.
Right.
I had no church to go to. So in other words, my first impregnation, as far as church
right.
concerned, was Bible churches from the New Testament. Mm-hmm. I was familiar through the reading of the Bible with the Church of Antioch, with the Church of Thessalonica, Philippi,
right.
and so on. And when I started to visit churches, evangelical churches, and some Baptist churches mm-hmm. in France, I was kind of surprised that they didn't look like, as far as zeal is concerned, the churches I had been familiar with reading the New Testament.
Probably didn't have the same prayer times that the disciples had in the New Testament.
Didn't have the same prayer time, didn't have the same zeal
right.
to witness to people.
Right.
It is true that people are not welcoming Bible truth
mm-hmm.
in France.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember that France is a country where Bibles were burned with their owners, that gives an understanding
mm-hmm.
of the opinion of people regarding the Bible.
Right, right.
So I was kind of surprised by what I was seeing, but I was very impressed by what I was reading in the Bible.
Okay.
Actually, as soon as I was saved, I had a conviction that the Lord wanted to use me. And I started to witness to people, my relatives, my friends, my neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
I spent hours and hours writing letters to those who were far
mm-hmm.
away that I couldn't visit.
Right.
And I had this fire burning my heart. I wanted to share God's word. I was oftentimes suddenly very awkward. But that was the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I was definitely called by the Lord to witness. But I never met a pastor, nor evangelist, nor a missionary. And it was maybe 3 years later that I joined a pioneer church in the south of France, very small church with less than 10 members. And I learned a lot more in the Bible. I was exposed to the Bible, but also fellowship with other believers. But they were shy as far as witnessing is concerned. And it seems that I had already more experience than they had. And suddenly I heard there was in France a Bible Institute.
Oh, okay.
I never heard that in the three first years of my Christian life.
Now, what kind of work were you doing at this time?
I was unemployed. I couldn't find a job.
Okay.
All the doors were closed. Before that, I was an engineer, marketing engineer, traveling all over the world.
Right.
I had a car. I had an apartment
uh-huh.
paid by the company, everything paid by the company.
Sure.
And suddenly, I lost everything.
Oh, wow.
But I got saved.
Yeah, uh-huh.
My life totally changed.
Mm-hmm.
And I find myself living with almost nothing mm-hmm. and having a bike.
Mm-hmm.
It was a tremendous change.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking for a job, and all the time the doors were closed and closed and closed. Until the time I went to visit a Bible Institute.
Mm.
And when I went there, I knew very clearly that this is where the Lord wanted me to be.
Probably why God closed the doors.
Yes.
Yeah. So that he could open another door. Now, were you single at the time?
I was single.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I met a number of missionaries teaching in these Bible Institutes. I met national pastors, French pastors.
Sure.
And I started to understand that the desire I had for serving was basically for becoming a pastor.
Sure.
And this is the time I met a American young lady who was a missionary assistant
okay.
in this Bible Institute, Valerie.
Okay. Okay.
And, well, she looked very different.
Uh-huh.
And I talked to her at the end of the first school year, and I said, well, would you consider, fairly directly actually, to pray over marriage?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to play with you, with your feelings.
Yeah, yeah.
I have an interest in you, but I want to go farther if there's no interest in
on your part.
Right.
Right.
And the Lord opened the door, and she asked me if I knew that there were mission boards in America that I could join, and I could consider also to serve under a mission board,
mm-hmm.
having supporting churches. And
sure.
I said, well, I've never been to America. I've never seen Christian churches or Baptist churches in America.
Right,
so
right.
That was a totally new experience
mm-hmm.
That could open to in front of me. And
right.
That's the route we followed
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. step by step, little by little.
Right.
The Lord opened doors one by one.
So you were going to the Bible Institute. Did you attend all 3 years?
All 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. With the idea in mind during that whole time that God was probably leading you toward the pastorate?
It was absolutely clear that I was in this Bible Institute to become a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
I was not clear. I had the sense that it was for serving in France.
Okay.
But when I heard that there were missionaries, and since I had a great interest in Valerie, and we asked a number of pastors, seasoned pastors, to counsel us immediately. We asked
right.
Valerie's parents also what they thought about it, because we have a substantial age difference. We were surprised to see, to hear, that they all were very positive and very encouraging. So I started to think about potentially going to the U.S. and joining a mission board.
Okay, right.
And obviously this is a path that the Lord opened for
exactly,
us.
Exactly, right. And then when you got to the U.S., you saw all kinds of different kinds of churches, didn't you?
Well, we were 3.5 years on deputation, and we visited more than 400 churches.
3.5 years of deputation to raise your support.
To raise our support,
right,
and we
right.
visited more than 400
mm-hmm.
churches.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have mentioned to us that you need to raise more support. Just to help our listeners understand what happens on a mission field that may cause a missionary to lose support, or not necessarily lose it, but get to the point that you need more support.
Well, in our case, we didn't lose any support.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we gained a little bit more support when I was sick, and that is by the grace of the Lord.
Sure.
We didn't have to say we are in difficulties. The Lord answered before we prayed, even.
Mm-hmm.
But in Europe, after the change of currency, French francs to
okay.
the euros,
yes.
prices skyrocketed,
mm-hmm.
Multiplied by 2, by 3, by 4,
right.
even
right.
more. So, we had estimated our support needs with our mission board, with
mm-hmm.
former missionaries also,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
to a certain level. And we realized arriving in France that the support was not adequate given the cost of living.
Right. See, I wanted to help our folks understand that many times it is an economic situation caused by political situations in that country.
Right.
I mean, I know my son in Brazil has seen his support just drastically reduced because of the exchange rate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the amount of reais they could get for a U.S. dollar, that kind of a thing, just totally changed in the last 13 years.
Actually, we can have, in a year, a fluctuation in our salary,
mm-hmm.
which is given in dollars, So when we receive our salary in euros, we can have a fluctuation of about 25-30%.
Mm.
So imagine in your budget on a day-to-day living, you have a fluctuation of 25-30%.
Right.
That is a lot.
Oh, that's the truth. Yeah, and so it helps us as we are holding the ropes, as it were, here in the States. It helps us to know how to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we consider the fact that, yes, we are supporting our missionaries, but the question is, do missionaries need to have their support raised? As opposed to taking on 8 or 10 more missionaries, how are we doing with the missionaries we're presently supporting? So the folks that are listening to this broadcast all over the place go to so many different kinds of churches, and we trust their mission-supporting churches, but that may be something that you as a believer might be able to just mention to your missions committee or your pastor, that how are we doing as far as supporting our present missionaries? Are we checking up on what their current needs are, and is it something that they may eventually have to come off the field and come back and try to raise more support? And if the supporting churches knew that, then I think it would be a tremendous help for each church to say, well, we can do this and we can do that, and maybe even raise the support as opposed to having to come home.
A good thing to know, for instance, is that we encourage our supporters, believers in our supporting churches, to come and visit us.
Mm-hmm.
Not many at the same time, but
sure,
to come and experience and see where we're living, our challenges, to better understand what is going on the mission field.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do that, it's a tremendous blessing for them, and they are a tremendous blessing for the brothers and sisters in Christ in the churches we work with. And that is a wonderful experience. I encourage them to consider not to go on vacation at Disney World and so on, but really visit missionaries.
Mm-hmm. And we have several families that plan family missions trips as their family vacation. I think that's a great idea, because you really don't know until you get there. I know I visited one of our missionaries in Chad, Africa, when I was pastoring in Georgia, and it was so, so different. And I always kidded Margie, because we were out on a road trip in her truck, and it broke down. And I said, okay, so you arranged it for it to break down so you could then talk to me about needing a new truck. And that's exactly what happened. But, you know, when you visit a field, your eyes are able to open up to the need. And that is exactly what we need to see. Jesus said to his disciples, lift up your eyes unto the fields. They are white already. Don't have to wait. They're white already. And friends, wherever you go to church, be involved in missions, in giving, in helping your church to be a blessing to the missionaries, to write letters, with phone calls, emails, whatever, to know your missionaries and be involved in their lives, the lives of their children. And God will bless your family in an awesome way.